Well, hello there. This is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the 9th chapter of Mark. There's 50 verses here with commentary and translation. And we also have part 5, the completion of the message that I was doing on character. And then we may have enough time for Exodus chapter 40, which has to do with possessing the land some more. We have a couple of letters and quite a few scripture readings this evening, but right now let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask Him to bless this service with His outward anointing. Father God, I ask that You pour out Your outward anointing upon this service. Take hold of my tongue, Lord, and use it for the glory of God. Lord, open up every spiritual eye and every spiritual ear to hear the messages that the fear of the Lord may come upon people rather than the false messages that are being preached in the world today that say that we shouldn't fear you, Lord, that we should reverence You. But we're going to read some scriptures today that show that the people that are preaching these sort of things are false prophets. They're saying that people, if you bless them, that they're not supposed to have blessings. I heard one preacher yesterday, Lord, saying, and I know you heard him too, that if a preacher has a BMW, that they should sell it and give it to the poor. But they don't know the Bible very well, because our doors are open to poor people that want to serve the Lord. These are the poor and needy. Those that poor and needy are those that need salvation. But the ones that believe that they have everything in this world and they reject salvation, they're the rich of the world. They just think they're so rich that they don't need You, Father. And so I don't go to rescue people that You are cursing. And I'm going to show through the scriptures that the very things that are happening in New Orleans and on the Texas border and over at the tsunamis and all these places that You're cursing, that it really is You that's cursing them, and You tell us in Your word that You're going to do it. We're going to read the scriptures. I've been saying these things for quite a long time, but we're going to just read a few of the scriptures to show, Father, that these people need to know these scriptures to show them that this is the real gospel, and that the things that they're being preached today are not really in the Bible at all. And so if people really want to hear the truth, the whole world is poor and needy, and we're willing to give to the poor and needy if they repent. But when You opened the earth and swallowed a bunch of people into hell alive, none of the people of the Lord ran over there, scrambled over to the edge of the schism and threw ropes down there to try to rescue them out of hell, tried to rescue those that You were cursing. And some people just try to rescue those that You are cursing. And so just as You're doing today, I believe this is the 23rd of September. What is it, the 23rd or 4th? The 23rd of September, and I see the highways just packed out with 2 million people, 2 million cars, and they're stranded. They don't have enough gas because they weren't repenting when You first flooded their city and blew it down and killed people. But they started opening up the striptease joints again, all the sin parlors, to bring in revenue to the city so that they could rebuild it. So You sent them another dose to show them that You don't like it. And I'm going to read scriptures in that regard as well. So, Father, we ask that that You anoint everything that I say, and that You quicken it into the souls, or give a life-giving spirit into the souls of the hearers, so that they can be saved and not be in ignorance, in darkness, in blindness any longer. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Now, Sharon, come over here and read some of these scriptures pertaining to the wrath of God for because of sin on the earth. You know, we know that New Orleans has been called Sin City, USA for a real long time, and now they're calling it the Big Easy, but it's not so easy over there for them now. From what I understand, the whole city's evacuated because of the wrath of God. Not because of Mother Nature, but because of the wrath of God. Not because of a natural disaster, but this is a supernatural disaster, and so there's going to be one right after the other until these people get down on their knees and repent. Okay, go ahead and read it.
This is Isaiah chapter 13, verse 9.
Okay, so Isaiah 13, verse 9. So find that in your Bibles. We're going to give you a second or two here. Isaiah 13, verse 9. And those people of you who don't know the Bible, it's in the Old Testament. Isaiah is one of the major prophets in the Bible. Chapter 13. Have you got it, everybody? They have it here, and so I assume that you people have it there. Okay, let's read it.
Behold, the day of the Lord cometh.
Oh, the day of the Lord cometh. Okay, then what's that? Then what?
Cruel, both with wrath.
Cruel?
Yes.
Cruel. I thought God was just loved by these false prophets, huh? Cruel with what?
Both with wrath and fierce anger.
With God's wrath and fierce anger. Now, you know, some of these people said that the terrorists are no big deal. I told you who the real terrorist was, and that's God. Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we preach the gospel. Okay, because I don't want to wind up like you people, all right? I want to have God to be friendly with me. And if you don't, well, the wrath of God and the cruel anger of God is going to nail you, okay? Now, you all think that you nailed him to the cross with your sins, and you did. But he's going to nail you if you don't repent, okay? And now go ahead.
To lay the land desolate.
He's going
to
lay the land desolate. Now, is New Orleans desolate?
Yes.
Okay, isn't that truth then?
Yes.
Okay, that, believe me, these newscasters are the biggest liars that ever lived. That was not Mother Nature that did that to you. Can't you hear God saying that he's the one doing it? It's not Mother Nature. Nor is it a natural disaster. It is God that did this. Then what?
And he shall destroy the sinners out of it.
Oh, are they out of there?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
He shall destroy the sinners out of there. While they're scrambling out of there like a bunch of roaches that were in the dark, but when you turn the light on, they scramble out of the room and hide somewhere. They're nestling into houses all over the nation. These people are out and out sinners. And they need to repent. Now the Lord is doing this not because he hates you. He hates your sins. He wants you to repent, okay? And we don't hate you either, but we're just telling you the truth. And, you know, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I say, and the Apostle Paul said it too. Then what?
Isaiah chapter 24, verse 18 through 20.
Okay, now let's give a little time. Isaiah what?
Chapter 24, verse 18 through 20.
Okay, did you all find it? Okay, so everyone here, and in here, they're not the smartest people in the world, so I'm sure that you have, being that you're so smart out there, that you've found it already. Okay, so what does that one say?
And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit, and he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare, for the windows...
Yeah, so, in other words, a lot of them were floating down the river, inside, down their streets, and some of them latched onto the roof and stayed up there, and some of them were caught in their attics. Oh, my. My. Then what?
For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake.
The windows are open with the rain. The rain came. And also came the tsunamis and also the hurricanes and the twisters. Several twisters hit down. One of them was in Minneapolis, just outside of Minneapolis in St. Paul there. I'm familiar with the area because we had health studios there back in... We had the world's largest chain. And then there's earthquakes, three of them just the other day what was it, yesterday over here in California somewhere, wasn't it? But then Montana had them. Earthquakes in diverse places, the Bible says, in different places. They're all over the place. And there's so many disasters happening in the world now that they can't even report them all. They report primarily the one that's happening over in Texas and New Orleans area right now because it's the closest to us. All right, and we're preparing our places for some of these refugees to sleep over at our property in the Texarkana area. We hear it's going to be raining over there tomorrow as well. But we're sitting on top of a hill, so it won't run off of us. We know better than to build our home on sand. Now, Galveston is on a 36-mile sandbar, and it's below sea level. Now, you know, the Bible says it's real smart to build your house, real wise to build your house on a solid rock, but it's real stupid, real foolish to build your house on sand. But it's even far more foolish to build your house on sand below sea level. That's about 1,000, maybe 10,000 points lower than plant life. So if I were y'all, I'd probably move up to Denver someplace, a mile-high city where the water would run down the hill if it started coming. Then God would get you with an earthquake or some kind of a thing, twister, or some kind of disease. It doesn't matter where you're at, God can get you. You can hide under the bed, run in the house, hide under the bed. He'd come right through the walls and under the bed with you and say, hi. Okay, then what?
The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again.
That's the whole world. So we've heard of earthquakes in diverse places, but the Lord says that there's going to be a world quake. The whole world is going to be removed like a cottage, and all of you that are not saved will not be received into the kingdom of heaven. You'll be in hell and the lake of fire. So how are you going to fight? Even the newscasters are saying these things that are happening here are the only thing. Not the terrorists have not humbled us, but these things, they don't say that God caused, but it is that God caused, has brought everybody down to their knees. And this is just the beginning. Now, I told you this when you saw the tsunami, that it's going to get worse and worse. And so it's up to y'all. Now, the Lord's trying to say something to you. He's speaking to you from His Word here to telling you what His wrath is going to be on you and fury. And pretty soon, maybe you'll stop listening to these God is all love false prophets, because they are false prophets. There ain't nothing like it in the Bible. God is love to those that love Him and keep His commandments. But if you're a liar and you just say you love God and then do your own thing, He's going to show you that He does not love you by giving you or one of your loved ones, or maybe all of them, some kind of disease, and it will take them out into eternity faster than you think. Then go ahead.
Isaiah chapter 29, verse 6.
Give me a little time. Did y'all find it yet? They got it here, so I'm going to assume you have it out there. Then what?
Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquake and great noise, with storm and tempest.
With storm and tempest. Great noise. They said it was, the noise was so horrible it sounded like a freight train coming through with noise and tempest and storm. The Lord, it says, the Lord is visiting ya. Not Mother Nature. Now, I could introduce you to the Lord, but I can't introduce you to Mother Nature because there ain't no such person. Okay? I'm just using the kind of language that they do today. There isn't any such person. I always write far more eloquently than I speak. I can speak eloquently, but probably you'd turn me off and listen to Bozo or some other classical person like that that you're so used to listening to. Listen to the Lord now. Go ahead, keep going.
And the flame of devouring fire.
The flame of devouring fire. Okay, then what?
Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 10.
Mm-hmm. Give them a little time. 1001, 1002, 1003. Have you found it?
Yes.
Okay, so I assume you people, being as intelligent as you are in Radio Land, that you found it as well. All right, let's go ahead and hear it.
But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation.
No, the nations, you can't abide by it. Now, we're all suffering from these storms. You know, you got to pay gas prices are being jacked up, steel prices, and now everybody's going to have to rebuild their homes. And that's going to make the price of lumber and nails and hammers and saws and everything like that go up. And food is going to go up, too, because there won't be so much of it. Because the lands are going to be swamped, and there won't be nothing for you to eat. The Lord said he's going to cause famines. Now, hopefully you get the picture, the big picture. The Lord has a plan for those of you who don't do what he says, and he has a nice plan for those of us that will do what he says. Then what?
Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 22 through 23.
Give me some time. 2, 3, 4. Did you find it? Yep, they have it, so I'm sure you do as well. Then what?
And I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him, and overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone.
Sound familiar, anybody?
Mm-hmm.
Listen to the news lately? Okay, then what?
Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself.
See, now, they don't want to magnify God because, you know, the media is against the name of God even. But God's magnifying himself. He doesn't rely on the news media to magnify his name because they won't do it. So he says, I'll magnify my name. He'll do the magnifying of it. Okay, until you stubborn jackasses get down on your own knees and repent. Oh, I offended you, and I have to make a public retraction. No, I won't. I don't care how much you twist my arm. That's what you are. The Bible says so. Okay, then what?
And I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord.
Yeah. He wants you to know that it's not Mother Nature, and that it's not a natural disaster, but that it's H-I-M, him. Okay? With a capital H, capital I, and a capital M. Underlined. It's God, all right. Okay, then what?
Nahum, chapter 1, verse 2 through 6.
Okay, now, Nahum. Now, that's one of the minor, what they call minor prophets, but he's... I don't know why they call them minor, because they say they do a lot of major saying. Amen? They got lots of major sayings. Okay? Then what?
God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, God is all love, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
No? Well, that's what all these preachers are saying, and that he just wants you to have a good time. Does it look like God wants you to have a good time, Joyce Myers? He says, live life to the fullest while they're swimming or sitting on their roof or up in the attic there, you know, shivering and without food. Well, one of them says, if we was down to our last a can of pork and beans, and boy, I don't want to ever have or ever look at another can of pork and beans. We'd be stranded up there for days. Oh, do you think God cares? No, he put her there. That's all she can think about is what she can eat and sleep and go to the bathroom. That's about it. That's what people mainly think of. And then they go to entertainment. Okay. Entertain themselves. Them wicked selves. Okay, then what?
The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath.
Yeah, now would it be an adversary of God to not want his name mentioned in schools or his word to be in the schools? Yeah, you people are the adversary of the Lord, and he's going to do something to you. And you're not going to like it. Now, you, for all the blasphemous things that you're saying, you know, you're going to have problems with your fuel bill this winter. Okay? And I noticed that there's not that much traffic on the streets anymore, because I travel the streets and I'm doing a survey, and there's not that much traffic out there because people, and even Walmart is complaining because they're all spending their money on stinking gas rather than coming to our store and buying our junk. So Walmart is even suffering under the wrath of God. Okay, in the fury of God. Then what?
He reserveth wrath for his enemies.
He reserved. Hey, y'all got a reservation. Mm-hmm. Because you're his enemies. You don't want to mention the name of God? Well, I want you to know, because you just want to, even when he's pouring out his wrath, call him Mother Nature and natural disaster. You people are, according to God, fools. He says, a person that says there's no God is a fool. You're calling God Mother Nature, like there's no God, and you're calling the wrath of God a natural disaster. It's just the natural thing. Natural thing? This has never happened before. Amen?
Amen.
Not in such a quick succession. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
The Lord is slow to anger and great in power.
So it's been slow time. He hasn't done this for a long time, but now the cup of his wrath is overflowing. And he's going to take vengeance on you people unless you repent. And repent means don't sin anymore. Get the power of God in you so you don't have to sin anymore. Then what?
And will not at all acquit the wicked.
He's not going to acquit you or let you go. So all you can do to get out of that wrath of his is to repent and stay repented. Then what?
The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then what?
He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry, and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence.
See, the mountains and the hills quake at him and are burned at his presence. But you people don't quake yet. If you keep calling him Mother Nature and natural disaster, has God gone so far away from your lips that you won't mention his name even? You're embarrassed of God? God says that he'll be embarrassed, ashamed of you at the judgment bar of God. Jesus said he'll be ashamed of you before his Father and the holy angels because you're ashamed of him. How could you reprobates be ashamed of the Almighty God? You reprobates, you make me sick. You make God sick, and he's pouring out his wrath on you. And even though it's happened in New Orleans and along the seashore of Texas and so on, the Gulf of Mexico and around Florida, where they starved that poor Terry Schiavo to death and dehydrated her, then you wonder what's going on. Why is this happening to us? Why? Why, you stupid idiots? We're reading the scriptures to tell you why. Okay? You get the point. Okay? Or do I have to buy y'all a bunch of dunce hats? You know, those, and maybe you'll get the point. Or does the Lord have to utterly smash you? Now, the whole country is paying for this with price hikes, and they're all rushing to the gas stations like a bunch of rats fleeing from a ship to get their tanks filled. How long do you think that tank full of gas is going to last you if God smashes all the oil refineries? Not long, but you're going to stay hang in there until the very end, right, Dopey? Because then what?
The earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation?
Yeah, are you all standing?
News media says you're all, he's bringing you to your knees. But some of you have got stubborn knees. You'll have to have more. But I'm telling you that this is just the beginning of what God's going to do to you all. This is nothing in comparison to what he's going to do to you. The best is yet to come. Then what?
And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger?
Yeah, who can live in the fierceness of his anger?
Only the great news media would dare stand there. One of the Hanyaks tied themselves to a palm tree so that it wouldn't blow them away. But, you know, a log could come over and smack him dead flying through the air. Amen?
Amen.
Or maybe one of those autos. I find out that there was a bird flying around several thousand feet up in the air in the eye of the storm. A blackbird. A pelican. Or the seagull was up there, too. Way up in the heavens, several miles up there. Because these Hanyaks are flying airplanes into the storm up there. Yeah, they're real bright boys. Okay, what else?
His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him.
You mean God's love's fury is poured out like what?
The rocks are thrown down by him.
The rocks are thrown down by the Lord. Okay, then what?
Matthew chapter 24, verse 7.
Okay, then what?
For nation shall rise against nation. The kingdom...
Is that happening?
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Then what?
And kingdom against kingdom.
Is that happening? Sure, it's already happened. Then what?
And there shall be famine.
Oh, is there famine?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, God is causing famine because of the idol worshiping over there in India. They worship their cows. They think it's their grandmothers and their grandfathers. It might be their grandmother and grandfather, but it's not mine. Mine was a human. Okay? And people don't come back as animals. It's appointed unto man and women and children once to die and after this the judgment. Okay? In case he didn't know it. The Bible says so. Then what?
There shall be famines and pestilences.
Pestilence, that means all kinds of diseases. Has that happened?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then what?
And earthquakes in diverse places.
Well, there's just three of them in California the other day. Okay, and then what else? There's 10,000 of them I hear a day. Earthquakes. The earth is over with, kids. Time to repent. Then what?
Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5 through 6.
Then what?
For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God.
Hey, this is the New Testament. Because of these things, fornication, adultery, homosexuality, and all these other things, it cometh the wrath of God. Not the love of God, the wrath of God. Goofy, okay? Wake up, Doopy, Goofy. Cometh the wrath of God. Now, you all like to fornicate, don't you? Keep it up, because you must, but you're not going to like the wrath of God when it happens on you. It's not just happenstance, or, you know, the wrath, or the Mother Nature, or natural disaster, or happenstance. It's the wrath of God. Then what?
Because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience.
That disobey him. Because he says that all that will happen if you're a fornicator, a lesbian, a homosexual, an adulterer, an adulteress, if you have filthy, lewd dreams. You know, people fantasize when they're having sexual relationships with their husbands and wives that they're having sex with some multi-giant or somebody or some little tiny girl or something like this. They fantasize that, and the Lord is logging that down as that that's what you actually did. Oh, I can hear some of them right in my ear. Rat spit. We don't like that. We like to fantasize. Now, it's illegal to have many partners, but the Lord says if you've done it in your mind, you've done it. Okay? Not who done it, you done it. Amen? Mm-hmm. Okay, then what?
Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 through 6.
What a bummer for you sinners to hear all this stuff. But you know, if you accept the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart with the Father by the Spirit, you'll have the power to not do these things anymore. And you repent and humble yourself before the Lord, He will not pour His wrath out on you. But some of you just can't wait until the wrath of God comes. You can't wait to go to hell in the lake of fire. Then what?
Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience.
That's New Testament, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. The wrath of God. I heard all these people say that God just loves you no matter what you do. What did they say? God loves you
unconditionally.
No conditions whatsoever. Just no matter what you do, He just loves you. What's one of those guys that says that on
TV?
Charles Stanley. Charles the Stanley Steamer. Charles Stanley, you liar, you. You're a dirty, filthy liar. And I say it to your face. I'm saying it right over national, international television, or radio. And I'll say it in front of your face. You are a dirty liar. Everything with God has got a condition to it. You either keep the commandments or the wrath of God is going to come on you. And if you decide not to keep the commandments, He does not love you. He hates you. And if you say God doesn't hate, we'll do a whole series of ones where God said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And many more. This Bible is loaded with those kind of scriptures. Then what?
Revelation chapter 6, verse 12 through 17.
Oh, now here's the real wrath of God coming down to the world in these scriptures. Go ahead.
And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood.
Now this is yet to happen, but you can see everything else has happened that the Lord said, and you can be sure that this will happen as well, because it is the word of the Almighty, Holy, Infallible God. Then what?
And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth.
That has not happened yet. They will fall. It'll look like a cascade of stars coming down all at once. It'll frighten you to where you'll be paralyzed. Then what?
Even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places.
That's what I say. What you're seeing now is just a Sunday school picnic. Every mountain is going to be removed at every hill. And you're going to see floods, tidal waves, over 1,500 to 2,000, 3,000 feet high. Possibly even higher than that, because there's going to be a big rock or a meteorite come down from heaven and smash into the ocean that's going to cause tidal waves that'll be 1,500 to 3,000 feet high, and they'll come the actual seafront property. Shall be out around Arkansas or Tennessee. L.A. and all the seacoast will be covered. They will be no more. Okay, then what?
And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bond man and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. And from the wrath of the Lamb.
The wrath of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lamb of God. So does that sound that Jesus is just all love to these sinners? And that God loves you unconditionally? Then why is He pouring out His wrath on people that if He loves them unconditionally? Huh? Isn't that a good question, Bunky? Okay, then what?
For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?
The great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now, Mr. Bush could be on one of those dung hills out there making a photo opportunity, standing on a bunch of heaps of rubbish that's caused from God's wrath, and say, don't worry, you know, we're going to fight, we're going to roll our sleeves up and clean everything up. You clean it up and God will dirty it again because he doesn't care anything about ecology down here. Now, the reprobates are worried about cleaning up the city. I even saw President Jimmy Carter and his wife walking down the streets of New York in a parade with one of those sticks with a nail on the end of it, picking up cigarette butts, you know, to show how clean they were. Why don't they go down there to New Orleans now and start cleaning that mess up, those two? Wouldn't that be a good idea, being that they're so worried about cleanliness?
Yes.
Now, there's a place for them to go. They'll say, well, we're too old right now. Well, we'll get a wheelchair for you. We'll have somebody wheel you down the street while you're picking up those cigarette butts and trash and refuse, toilet paper and all the other debris. Okay, then what?
Revelation chapter 11, verse 13.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go.
And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven.
Yeah, that's when they saw God's two witnesses raised up from the dead and ascend into heaven. That was only 7,000 killed then. But one-third of the earth population will be smitten very soon, all at one time. That'd be about 2 billion people. So the numbers you're seeing now on your television screen are nothing in comparison to what's going to happen. And why? Because the whole world is deceived and they're all sinning. And you're going to have to pay for it, folks. All right, then what?
Revelation chapter 16, verse 18 through 20.
You know, when God says something's going to happen, it will happen. You can count on it. Go ahead.
And there were voices and thunders and lightnings. And there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon
came... The cities of the nations fell. Well, is New Orleans one of the cities of the earth?
Yes.
And, Bangladesh and all these other different... there's all kinds of cities falling all over the earth. And it's going to get worse and worse. Japan is, trying to prepare for it. San Francisco is trying to prepare for it. They say, well, our building code is good. Don't you realize that God can pour it? So they say, we're prepared for an earthquake. But what if God starts pouring down hail, fire, and brimstone and sulfur from heaven just as he did at Sodom and Gomorrah? You're prepared for an earthquake. But fire and brimstone will come down and get you. Or horrible pestilence, like you people are really high in AIDS. You don't realize that that's the wrath of God. Wake up. Repent. And what?
And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath.
Of God's wrath. Now, see, Babylon was modern-day Iraq. But... Mystery Babylon is Rome, because everybody's following after Rome's news media and Rome's government, and that's why God's pouring out his wrath on the world, because he does not like the Roman Empire that is controlled by Satan. And if you listen to them, you're in the same canoe with them, all right? You're all in the same boat or canoe. Okay, I think that's enough, isn't it? Is there a little bit more there?
It was just, short.
Read it.
And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found.
So definitely the earth is going to become slick. There won't be one jutting mountain up. It'll just be like the eight ball on a pool table. Then where will you hide? They'll pray for the rocks and mountains to fall on, but there won't be any mountains anymore. Then what? It'll just be the wrath of God, the wrath of the Lamb to fall on. Well, anyway, let's start with chapter 9 of the book of Mark, 50 verses, translation.
Verse 1, Jesus went on to say, quote, I assure you that some of you standing here right now will not die before you see the kingdom of God arrive in great power, unquote.
Okay, so the kingdom of God is Christ. So they saw that, and they saw him raised from the dead and ascend into heaven. All right, and then it's the people that are standing there then. Then what else?
The transfiguration. Verse 2. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John to the top of a mountain. No one else was there. As the men watched, Jesus' appearance changed. Verse 3. And his clothing became dazzling white, far whiter than any earthly process could ever make it. Verse 4. Then Elijah and Moses appeared and began talking with Jesus. Verse 5. Quote, Teacher, this is wonderful, unquote, Peter exclaimed. Quote, we will make these three shrines, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, unquote.
Yeah, I saw a young man on television. He couldn't have been more than 25 years old, and he was teaching the gospel. Last night he was teaching it wrong. The Bible says he really sounded like he was teaching the truth, but to a seasoned veteran like myself, you could tell that he didn't know what he was teaching. The Bible says, suffer not a novice to teach, lest he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. That means he's going to hell, because the kid actually really believes that he's right. And I've been studying the Bible now for over 40 years, and this boy could not have studied the Bible more than 5 or 6 years at the most, and that isn't enough to be teaching. He's a novice because he was preaching the wrong thing. He was saying that it was wrong for some Christians to have money. And he had some other heretic on with him, some older man, that was, what about Joseph, who was the premier of Egypt? He was very wealthy. What about Abraham? Very wealthy. What about King Solomon, the wealthiest man in the world? What about David? Very wealthy. There are many wealthy people. Joseph, the head of Egypt, the strongest country of that time. All right, and it just goes on and on. Many, many wealthy people. Paul said he knew how to be wealthy, and he knew how to be poor. So sometimes we're wealthy, and sometimes we're poor. But it's wrong for people to say, if God has given you something, what's the proper car for a Christian? Or you have to be a phony and just get a one of these doodle bugs or something. No, that isn't the way it works, folks. Don't listen to these young boys, you know, if they're only 30 years old, or maybe even some of the older ones are just as wrong as can be. He's a heretic, and he's going to fall into the... He's already fallen into the condemnation of Satan, because he's doing exactly what the Bible tells him not to. He's a novice, and he's not supposed to be teaching. Okay, you can preach, but not teach. You can give your testimony. All right, then what?
Verse 6. He didn't really know what to say, for they were all terribly afraid. Verse 7. Then a cloud came over them, and a voice from the cloud said, quote, This is my beloved Son. Listen to him, unquote. Verse 8. Suddenly they looked around, and Moses and Elijah were gone, and only Jesus was with them. Verse 9. As they descended the mountainside, he told them not to tell anyone what they had seen until he, the Son of Man, had risen from the dead. Verse 10. So they kept it to themselves, but they often asked each other what he meant by, quote, raising from the dead, unquote. Verse 11. Now they began asking him, quote, Why do the teachers of religious law insist that Elijah must return before the Messiah comes, unquote. Verse 12. Jesus responded, quote, Elijah is indeed coming first to set everything in order. Why then is it written in the scriptures that the Son of Man must suffer and be treated with utter contempt? Verse 13. But I tell you, Elijah has already come, and he was badly mistreated just as the scriptures predicted, unquote.
That's why it's very false for people to say that Elijah is one of the two prophets, because Jesus plainly states here that he's already come and gone. John the Baptist was Elijah. The spirit of Elijah came into him, been appointed unto all men once to die, and after death the judgment. That's why the only one that has not died is Enoch. And so Enoch is going to come back as one of the two witnesses because he has to die. And he'll die in chapter 11 of Revelations. We haven't gotten there yet. And I believe the other witness with him will be his wife, because they two are one, but they're still two. Joined together, they're one, but there'll be two. They'll be so close together that neither one of them will deviate from the Word of God. They'll preach it like it is, and everybody will hate them exceedingly so, and so much to the point that they're going to start sending gifts one to another after they are killed and laying on the streets. But after 3 days, they raise up from the dead, and then a cloud takes them up into the kingdom of heaven, just as the Lord Jesus Christ was taken up into the kingdom of heaven, so that people won't doubt any longer that Jesus ascended into the kingdom of heaven in a cloud, because the two witnesses will do the same thing, and everyone will see him on television doing it. And they'll rerun it and rerun it until everybody has seen it over and over and over again. God might even heal the blind eyes of people so that they can see it as well. Okay, then what?
Jesus heals a boy possessed by an evil spirit. Verse 14. At the foot of the mountain, they found a great crowd surrounding the other disciples, as some teachers of religious law were arguing with them. Verse 15. The crowd watched Jesus in awe as he came toward them, and then they went to greet him. Verse 16. Quote, "What is all this arguing about?" unquote, he asked. Verse 17. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, quote, "Teacher, I brought my son for you to heal him. He can't speak because he is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk." Verse 18. And whenever this evil spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground and makes him foam at the mouth and grind his teeth and become rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it. Verse 19. Jesus said to them, quote, "You faithless people!" exclamation point. "How long must I be with you until you believe?"
Yes, when God is with you, how could you have any doubt? You can see him do all those things, and if you're with him and see it and still doubt, you really make the Lord angry. Then what else?
"How long must I put up with you?"
And the Lord is in us now, and he wants to live his life in and through us, and still people do doubt him. And that is really going against you, because by doubt you're damned. By faith you're saved, and by doubt you are damned. Damned means you're going to hell in the lake of fire. So better hone up on your scriptures, amen?
Amen.
Or listen to these tapes. Read my literature. Read the Bible. Okay, then what?
"Bring the boy to me," unquote. Verse 20. So they brought the boy. But when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground with writhing and foaming at the mouth. Verse 21.
Yes, it was like epilepsy, a demon of epilepsy. We had people in our church with that, and it's gone now, because when the person fills up with the Word of God is God, and it just squeezes that demon of epilepsy out, or any other demon for that matter. Then what else?
Verse 21, quote, "How long has this been happening?" unquote, Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, quote, "Since he was very small." Verse 22, "The evil spirit often makes him fall into the fire or into water, trying to kill him."
See, when Jesus said, "Be thou healed," when they receive that word, or when they receive any of the word of the Lord, "By my stripes you were healed," that heals you, because depart from him, Satan. That right there, if you have faith in that word, well, the demon will depart from you. So just imagine how much, when you tank your entire spirit, your soul, with the word of God, how that everything else flees and every doubt flees as well. And then you have the power of God to where you can keep all the commandments, and therefore you don't have to worry about the wrath, the anger of God, as the scriptures that we read to you just before this message from chapter 9 of Mark. You don't ever have to worry about any of those things, because you realize that you're safe now, because the Lord is with you. His word is in you. And you don't have to be doubting any longer. You have faith that God is with you. And don't make God angry, as these people did. He was right there healing people, raising them from the dead, and they still didn't believe. Okay, now what?
Have mercy on us and help us. Do something if you can.
If you can. Oh, isn't that choice? That's just priceless. Then what?
Verse 23, quote, "What do you mean, if I can?" unquote, Jesus asked. Quote, "Anything is possible if a person believes," unquote. Verse 24, the father instantly replied, quote,
"Just like my brother's extremely ill now, anything is possible. God can raise that man up right now, okay? It's possible if you'll just believe. So everybody believe, and Danny will raise up. And if you people in Radio Land, you're sick, just believe the word of God, and you're going to rise up. Take your bed up and walk. Get out of that bed and get up, okay? Believe the word of God and live and be healed." Then what else?
The father instantly replied, quote, "I do believe, but help me not to doubt," exclamation point, unquote. Verse 25, when Jesus saw that the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. Quote, "Spirit of deafness and muteness," he said, quote, "I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again," exclamation point, unquote. Verse 26, then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into another violent convulsion and left him.
Deafness, muteness, and also it's epilepsy. And what else?
The boy laid there motionless, and he appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd, quote, "He's dead," unquote. Verse 27, but Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet, and he stood up. Verse 28, afterward, when Jesus was alone in a house with his disciples, they asked him, quote, "Why couldn't we cast out that evil spirit?" unquote. Verse 29, Jesus replied, quote, "This kind can be cast out only by prayer and fasting," unquote. Jesus again predicts his death. Verse 30, leaving that region, they traveled through Galilee. Jesus tried to avoid all publicity. Verse 31, in order to spend more time with his disciples and teach them, he said to them, quote, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed. He will be killed, but 3 days later he will rise from the dead," unquote. Verse 32, but they didn't understand what he was saying, and they were afraid to ask him what he meant. The greatness in the kingdom. Verse 33, after they arrived at Capernaum, Jesus and his disciples settled in the house where they would be staying. Jesus asked them, quote, "What were you discussing out on the road?" unquote. Verse 34, but they didn't answer because they had been arguing about which of them was the greatest. Verse 35, he sat down and called the 12 disciples over to him. Then he said, quote, "Anyone who wants to be the first must take last place and be the servant of everyone else," unquote. Verse 36, then he put a little child among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, quote, verse 37, "Anyone who welcomes a little child like this one on my behalf welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes my Father who sent me," unquote. Using the name of Jesus, verse 38, John said to Jesus, quote, "Teacher, we saw a man using your name to cast out demons, but we told him to stop because he isn't one of our group," unquote. Verse 39, quote, "Don't stop him," exclamation point, unquote, Jesus said. Quote, "No one who performs miracles in my name will soon be able to speak evil of me." Verse 40, "Anyone who is not against us is for us." Verse 41, "If anyone gives you even a cup of water because you belong to the Messiah, I assure you that person will be rewarded." Verse 42, "But if anyone causes one of these little ones who trusts in me to lose faith, it would be better for that person to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around the neck." Verse 43, "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better to enter heaven with only one hand than to go into the unquenchable fires of hell with two hands." Verse 44, "Where the worm never dies and the fire never goes out." Verse 45, "If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better to enter heaven with only one foot than to be thrown into hell with 2 feet." Verse 46, "Where the worm never dies and the fire never goes out." Verse 47, "And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. It is better to enter the kingdom of God half blind than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell." Verse 48, "Where the worm never dies and the fire never goes out." Verse 49, "For everyone will be purified with fire." Verse 50, "Salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavor, how do you make it salty again? you must have the qualities of salt among yourselves and live in peace with each other, unquote.
That means you got to have the real gospel of the Spirit of the Lord, but that's the salt, and you have to have the zeal, the vigilance, the diligence. Okay, that was Mark chapter 9 with his 50 verses translation. Now we've got about 3 minutes to go, and we're going to do as much of the commentary as we can. And then if what we don't, what we're not able to do, we'll finish up on tomorrow's broadcast. Go ahead.
Jesus said we must become like little children. He said that in Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. We admitted that we were powerless over our dependencies and were powerless to save ourselves, and that we need to be purchased by the Lord so that we could be consecrated and go to heaven, because our life had become unmanageable and we were lost. For many of us, in receiving the fullness of Christ, our memories of childhood are full of the terrors associated with being without God's power in us. If we were raised in a family that was out of control, we were neglected or abused or exposed to domestic violence or every kind of sinful, dysfunctional behavior, the thought of being without God's power would be very frightening to some children. You may have silently vowed never again to be as vulnerable as you were when you were just a child. I know that happened to me when I was sent to reform school in Miles City, Montana, for just running away from home. There wasn't anything I could do. They beat us and really mistreated me, for sure, because most of the people there were Nazis and I'm Jewish. My real name is Bernie Lazar Hoffman, and I changed my name to Tony Ulamo years later when I was in the record industry, a singer, actor. Jesus tells us that in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, we must become like little children. And this involves realizing that we don't have God's power and we're totally dependent upon Him. He said, quote, I assure you, anyone who doesn't have the kind of faith as these little children, they'll never get into the kingdom of God, Mark 10:15. In all societies, children are the most dependent members of the human race. They have no inherent power. They are not able to protect themselves. They have no guarantee that their lives are going to be safe or comfortable or fulfilling. Today, many children are being kidnapped and taken to foreign countries and put on drugs and used in pornographic films, and they are abused sexually and murdered. Little children are singularly reliant on the love, care, and nurture of born-of-the-Spirit Christians or people that have some compassion for them. They must, for all their basic means, cry out, even though they may not know exactly what they need. They must trust their lives to someone who is more powerful than themselves, and hopefully and prayerfully they will be heard and lovingly cared for. All of us as well must admit that we are truly powerless if we do not give ourselves unto the Lord.
All right. The whole thing is give yourself to the Lord and you'll be well taken care of. Not by humans, but by the Lord. So that was our time is up, and that was Mark 9. Tomorrow, Mark 10, God willing, and the continuation of this, plus part continuation of part 5. Until then, part 5 of character. Until then, God bless you. This is Tony Ulamo, your pastor, saying praise the Lord, and keep looking up. Look at the Scriptures. Look at Christ. Look at God at all times. Praise the Lord.